David, it's admirable okay. that
Hold
you
on, don't start yet. Don't start yet. Just don't. Okay, now you can start.
Salika?
I was going to say, David, it's admirable you want to play Santa Claus in a mall, but you can't threaten them with lumps of coal just because they won't donate to the David Griggs Foundation.
It's a great foundation.
We are going here, and I don't know where we're going so far, but welcome to the Hoops HD Under the Radar. I'm Chad Sherwood, joined by David Griggs and John Stalica that are, I don't know what they're doing in the mall, and Rocco Miller back with us again. Great to see everybody.
I was asked never to go back to the mall. I don't know if that was a request or an order. I'm not sure.
I hope you didn't go back, but knowing you, you're probably be there tomorrow. But
yeah.
This is our Under the Radar show. And John, let me start with you here. We like to define Under the Radar for those people that are new to the podcast every week when we do it. So what does it mean to be Under the Radar?
Under the Radar applies to conferences that are outside the Power Five, along with the Big East, the Atlantic 10, the American, the Mountain West, and the West Coast. And the second qualifier is you cannot be in the top 25 of the polls.
All right. And so we've got 22 different conferences. Nobody in any of these 22 conferences is in the top 25 at the moment. Could change a couple of teams at what they've done recently fairly soon if they keep winning. But what we like to do actually is start with a feature conference of the night, and then we'll run through the rest of them in alphabetical order. And given that we're recording this a little after 10 o'clock Eastern on Wednesday here, December 6th, I think it's very appropriate that we start things off in the Missouri Valley Conference, which just saw a huge win tonight by Loyola of Chicago at Florida, one of the biggest, if not the biggest win by an under the radar team all season, David.
Yeah, and perhaps all year. Well, earlier, about a week ago, we were singing the praises of Florida, and deservedly so. When you look at what they did out in the PK-80 and what they had done so far coming into this week, two nights ago, Florida losing at home rather badly to rival Florida State, and we were talking about how impressive that was. Last night, we had another top five or top 10 team go down on the road at home to an unranked under-the-radar team in Ball State. And then we made the comment, gee, when was the last time two top 10 teams lost at home to unranked teams? And then it happened again for a third night in a row. But does this have an asterisk by it? Because it was Florida again. So it's happened technically, but maybe Florida isn't as good as we thought. Now, again, and that being said, what a tremendous effort by Loyola in this game. I'd only really seen them play once, and it was not a tremendous effort. That was the Boise State game. But I was more impressed with Loyola than I was disappointed in Florida. I mean, it was just a really spectacular showing. By the way, apparently Wazoo, Idaho has just gone black. By the way, we're recording this while that game's being played. We'll get to the Big Sky later. But if anyone's trying to watch – oh, it's back. It's back.
Okay. David's going to give us updates throughout the show, apparently, on whether or not he can watch Washington State, Idaho. That is thrilling, thrilling podcasting, by the way.
Right, yes. We're already off to the best start we've ever gotten Dave, off to.
But, Marco, maybe you can help us save this podcast. And what are your thoughts on Loyola after this huge win here out of the Valley?
Yeah, I liked Loyola their first their first six games. I liked what I was reading about them coming into the season. I know they got some studs back, so yeah, I was a little just disappointed when they got blown out at Boise State. Maybe that was just a tough travel day. I think they only had 2 days to get out there, and then they bounced back last weekend with it's a rivalry between Illinois and Chicago, I'm imagining, and they blew them out, took that confidence into Florida. Took advantage of a Florida team that obviously came off of a rough loss on Monday without much time to prepare for this game. So kudos for them to even make this a game and let alone win the thing. So really excited to see where this goes for the rest of the season for the Ramblers.
Yeah. And John, it's not just about Loyola in the Missouri Valley. You've got the only undefeated under the radar school here in Valpo. You've got Missouri State, who's out to a real nice start. You've got Northern Iowa, who's out to a real nice start as well. although none of those teams really played any significant games this past week. But I guess the question here is there a shot we could have an at-large bid out of the Valley this year?
It's possible, and one of the teams I wanted to highlight was one you didn't even mention, and that's the Aces of Evansville. Remember a couple weeks ago, they lost a heartbreaker at the buzzer against, Louisiana Tech down in Cancun? But if you look at the past week, they put on a big hurting against Oakland City, as Chad likes to call it. And then last night, they get a nice win on the road at Bowling Green, who's also had one of their best teams in recent memory.
That's not Oakland. That is Oakland City. That's a non-D1 game there,
right,
by the way.
Well, not only is it possible, I think we're broaching the point to where it's probable, because when you look at the top of the league, you have Valpo without a loss. Mm-hmm. You have Loyola with a bloated record and a notable win over a potential, in fact, probable protected seed on the road. And then you have Northern Iowa with three notable wins, although the win at home against UNLV isn't as big as the ones they got down in Atlantis. But like you've got three teams right there that are kind of on pace, and you got to think at least one of them is going to land inside the bubble. My question is, could there be more than one? I mean, This has the makings of a multi-bid league.
Yeah, we're going to find out a lot about Valpo tomorrow. They go to Purdue tomorrow night. So, you know, I don't know if they can win that, but if they can at least compete, we'll know that they're pretty legit. And then next Thursday, they go to Northwestern, and Northwestern's been a little down so far. So maybe they can go and steal that. But you're right, David. I think what we're seeing is there's a really solid top four when you look at Loyola, Chicago, Missouri State, Northern Iowa, and Valpo. And then there's a good kind of middle ground with Bradley, Evansville, and Illinois State. So that could bring up enough quality to where, you know, Valpo might only need to beat Northern Iowa once, take care of a lot of their home games, get a couple more road wins, and that might still be enough even without the two Big Ten opportunities.
Right. I mean, not to compare it to a conference we talked about the other night, but I think this league's kind of been as productive as what we've seen out of the Pac-12. I mean, which is not an under-the-radar league, but I mean, you've got – look at their wins, at least from the top of the league. Now, the bottom is you're kind of holding your nose there with the trees, and Illinois State's been really disappointing. But
David, I'll go one better. I like this league right now better than the Atlantic 10.
Yeah. I would agree with that. Yeah.
I do too. They're really neck and neck in the power ratings, but the top has been really impressive.
But the other surprise here is that our expectations for this league were tempered quite a bit with Creighton and Wichita State leaving the league in recent memory for greener pastures.
Right. Yeah. And I admit that I thought this was a 13-14 seeded team league. Mm-hmm. But I mean, we're looking at I think we might be looking at multiple teams that are on the bubble and maybe even inside of it before we're done here.
Go ahead, Robert, finish up.
I was just gonna add it's really good to see, because I love this conference. It might be my favorite conference tournament every year, Arch Madness, and I was dreading with Wichita leaving and like Stalika mentioned, Creighton leaving a few years back, that we're going to start to lose the luster and the magic. And it looks like at least for this year, we're in good hands. So it's really good to see.
I just wanted to point out real quickly, if you're following on the screen here, you see all these numbers. These are various metrics. New as of tonight, we do have in the resume metric, the Joby's Nitty Gritty ratings up there. That's our colleague Joby Forts and his ratings that you can find on our website up there. Just hit his button. You can get his full 1 to 351 rankings up there.
It's up
He's
there.
Going out to a full 351 this year. He'd previously done a top 100. So
right. Joby doing a real good job with that. Been picked up by, something.
By something. Okay.
Yeah. Real solid plug there for Joby.
Our good, good job there, David. Let's over to the America East here. Two teams that are getting interesting here, and maybe even more interesting, in just the way that Albany maybe not beating anybody, but just keeps winning games.
Yeah, Albany keeps winning games. Vermont, I really think they needed that one yesterday against Marquette. Marquette, nothing special, but that's precisely it. I mean, you need to be able to go on the road and at least beat an NIT team, at least one, if you're trying to land inside the bubble. That was probably their most winnable game. I thought Kentucky was winnable. We had actually expected them to play well and maybe even win it. But a rough week for this Vermont team that I was so high on, losing both at Bucknell and at Marquette. Now, again, in and of themselves, those are hard places to win, but it's hard to land inside the bubble. You have to win those types of games if you want to do it. Vermont not getting it done. And short of winning out, I think this team will need to win the conference tournament.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just tough scheduling for Vermont, I think. If you look at their schedule, they're playing consistent two games a week, and they're on a five-game road trip where they started with two road wins at Yale and Richmond, which were a great start to the five-gamer. But a lot of the teams, when you're looking at all the schedules, they've got a built-in week right now or next week or last week to prepare for finals. Vermont didn't do that. They decided to take a long Christmas break where they don't play between the 21st and 2nd. And I think that's going to come back to bite them, because it's really hard to ask your kids to continue to travel and do all their studies and be ready for these road tests. They're not good enough to just show up and win. They've got to grind them out.
Right, and that's real unfortunate. I mean, it's just one of those common irritations. I never understood what final exams or academics had to do with basketball anyway.
Well, it doesn't have anything to do with the big boys, but when you're talking about Vermont, they actually probably do care about their education.
Right, which is a mistake. I mean, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and we've got the upcoming schedule week on the screen there. And Sleeka, you're circling that big Baltimore rivalry there between UMBC and Towson coming up. But Siena playing both Albany and Vermont this week. Vermont also with a trip to Northeastern, and Albany with a trip to Memphis in a very winnable game against a very bad Memphis team.
Yeah, I would expect them to win.
Learn about this Albany team with two road games this week against teams that they have a shot at beating here.
Yeah, I agree. And, like, Albany really should beat Memphis. And that's as much of an indictment on Memphis as it is praise of Albany. Samford, a team we were kind of big on but hasn't really looked that good, really kind of blew it against Memphis. This is a team that Albany really is better than, in my opinion, and they should win that game.
Well, John, here's the A-Sun standings, which we just saw – heading into this season,
man, it is neck and neck.
Lipscomb had lost 11 straight games in the Battle of Boulevard rivalry against Belmont. Just Monday night, they finished off the sweep for this year. So Casey Alexander, head coach there at Lipscomb, pulling off the sweep over Belmont, and a real good Belmont team this year. So he's starting to pay a little attention to Lipscomb at this point.
That's the good news as far as the Atlantic Sun with Lipscomb getting the sweep. The bad news is Florida Gulf Coast. First, they get swept by Middle Tennessee, which there's no shame in that. But then when you turn around and lose to Florida Atlantic, that's not good for a team that's been a frequent NCAA contender in recent memory.
Yeah.
Yeah, Rock, I think – really surprised by that one.
Yeah, I was.
Yeah, I think Gulf Coast got hit with a bad injury on their second leading scorer. I don't have his name in front of me, but it just from reading their local articles, it sounds like that's been a big, big issue with trying to get the guys performing to their full potential. So, but yeah, Lipscomb, awesome. Can't believe they beat Belmont twice, especially the start that Belmont got off to. That was very surprising. And Lipscomb's got three road wins now, and they get a chance for a big one on Saturday when they play Tennessee.
Yeah, here's the upcoming schedule showed up on the screen right about now. There is that Lipscomb Tennessee game. Also, Gulf Coast at Arlington coming up on Saturday, and what could be an exciting one if Gulf Coast could get healthy. Though, maybe we're just going to talk Lipscomb the rest of the year if they're seriously hit by injuries there. But David, here is the Big Sky standings, and maybe you can give us an update on Idaho's video feed.
Yes, the video feed is working more or less. It's really choppy. Remember the old Nintendo Entertainment System games that it would get all blurry and you had to blow on them? It's like that. But you can watch it and pretty much tell what's going on. 29-22 Idaho right now. I got the sound down, but I'm assuming it's a raucous crowd in there.
Like this, that's actually a pretty good rivalry between those two teams.
It is. Yeah. And it's typically evenly matched. This year, not just one, but two of them sort of have a pulse. So there's a reason to watch. Too bad it's on this stupid – what is this called? This is so bad.
Pluto.tv.
Yeah, Pluto, year, Pluto.tv. I don't know. Maybe they don't have regular TV out in Idaho.
Pluto is no longer a planet, so, you know, the TV station no longer works either, I guess.
Well, it looks like they're broadcasting from Pluto. I mean, the problems they're having on that.
but John, I don't know if there's anything we can really talk about from any of these games I played last week. I know you've circled Northern Arizona Bakersfield, and that's a bad Northern Arizona team, though.
Yeah, and also going to be a very bad loss for Bakersfield because this was actually a road win for the Lumberjacks here because this is a team that's also been flirting with a centenary status the past 2 years. So I don't use the word shocker often, but I will use it when they go into Bakersfield and pull off a win there.
Yeah, their only win on the season so far there for the Lumberjacks, who even lost a non-D1 game, if I recall correctly.
Recall correctly, I think.
Rocco, the upcoming schedule here is on the screen. Idaho is going to be at Bakersfield coming up this weekend, but I don't know what else we can really look at. Maybe Weber State, BYU.
If we look all the way to next Wednesday, Portland State at Oregon, I mean, it's another chance for Portland State to show themselves against a big program. They're playing, I think, right now at Loyola Marymount, which should be a very competitive game just because it's actually at Loyola Marymount. So tough road trip. North Dakota State, North Dakota, I saw you just highlighted that. That's always got some good passion and probably a good crowd. So that'll be another one to watch.
Go ahead.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Southern Utah got a good win tonight over Long Beach State. But they're probably in deep trouble going to East Lansing.
I was just going to say, as far as Portland State and Oregon goes, it's too far removed from the PK-80 to be considered a non-bracketed game, as the puppet has discussed in recent podcasts.
John, let me stick with you here as I pull the Big South standings up on the screen. And
what a crap spectacular.
What are we looking at? Campbell gave a good effort against East Carolina, but lost the game, as did Winthrop against Georgia. I guess those are a couple of games if you want to highlight something, right?
But I think we have to highlight Presbyterian anytime we can highlight their radio crew calling the end of the game and beating a recently hot North Carolina A&T team. I suppose we can highlight that.
Yeah.
Good job, John. Yeah, and there, when you look at the states of Virginia and North Carolina, I mean, there are some great basketball teams in those states. You got the Tar Heels, UVA off to a really good start. And this conference has a lot of schools in those two states.
Yes. Not much turns up coming games this week. I don't even know what. Dakota Falls is going to be at High Point. Charleston Southern at South Carolina. I think it's time to move on to the – I think it's the Big West.
It's a rough league.
Okay. The big fan of the Kyle Lamb show down in Toccoa Falls.
Rocco, here's the Big South coming up on this. Sorry, not the Big South. The Big West coming up on the screen now, where we did see Santa Barbara pick up a nice win over a San Diego team. And we got to talk about Wazoo, of course.
Yes. So UC Davis. So Chica Monate, he's the National Player of the Week. The guy is an absolute stud. I think he was the Big West Player of the Year last year. And then he went to Wazoo and just did everything he wanted to do. I don't have his stat line, unfortunately, in front of me. I want to say it was something like 28-15. But anyway, with him on that team and building with some transfers and a couple of young guys from last year back, they look pretty good. And they've been competitive all year. Santa Barbara as well. I like that team, and I know you guys love Hawaii. I like them too when they are at home, but when they leave the island, they're a little bit not as tough. So
I concur with that now after seeing them off the island for a couple of games.
But Diamond Head Classic, watch out. They can knock off anybody.
Yeah.
Dave, the coming schedule for the Big West here. Hopefully, let's see if it shows up on the screen or not. There it is.
Is there? Yeah.
There it is. Anything that you're looking forward to in the Big West for this upcoming week? Again, it's another conference with a bit of a week ahead.
Let's see. What's the game of the week here?
Hawaii Hilo.
Yeah, Hawaii Hilo at Hawaii. I mean, in the same conference as the team of the people, Hawaii Hilo at Hawaii. Sure.
We're going to be talking about a little Hawaii Hilo in a few minutes. We'll get there in a minute too. But let's David, let me stay with you here for the Colonial, which should be coming up on the screen. There is the scores, and Towson with a great week, going out to Belfast, Northern Ireland, come with a 67-60 win over LaSalle, and then a 56-55 win over Manhattan to take that tournament.
Yeah, I mean, Belfast, Northern Ireland wanted basketball. They were starved for it, and we sent them Towson. That's what we did. And Towson getting the win out there. But in all seriousness, like Pat Scarry, not just this year, but through the entire tenure or his entire stay at Towson, they won one game, I believe, his first season there. They won the Centenary Award, although I still think Binghamton should have got it. The next year they were on probation, finished second in the conference, and just how they were one of the two or three worst teams in Division One, like out of everybody, and now they have just improved so much. They've done a hell of a job, and they've been good this year. I'm not knocking them at all. I was really big on Charleston this year. Based on what we've seen through the first 10 or so games, I mean, we've almost played a football season. Towson's looked better. They really have.
Yeah. Towson, I remember the preseason show that these guys just get rebounds and they grind out possessions. They don't win pretty. Tonight is a perfect example. They go to overtime with Morgan State and still find a way to win. I mean, they're just going to be one of those teams that you don't want to face if you're an opposing coach, because you got to play the full 40 minutes, and that's, they try to wear down teams, and it's working. So really good to see them having some early success. And then I think one other team that might deserve a little credit is Northeastern. They've started to turn it on, a couple blowout wins in the last week. Obviously, one of those against a very disappointing Bucknell team.
And a very disappointing Harvard team as well. Right.
Yeah,
great week for Northeastern with three wins. Also got to mention Hofstra with a nice win, road win at Monmouth tonight as well.
Oh, I missed that one. Wow. Okay, yeah, nice win for Hofstra.
But Salika, let me pull up the upcoming schedule here for the Colonial and ask you what you're looking forward to this week.
Well, I already mentioned on Monday night I've teased the Notre Dame and Delaware game just because of the Mike Bray and Martin Inglesby connection. But another game we're going to be looking at is going to be UNC Wilmington going to LSU against a much improved Tiger team. And also, let's look at the branch campuses between Wilmington and Greensboro meeting on Wednesday night next week.
Oh, yeah, I don't know that Wilmington is that great this year, though. So,
yeah, we got a little Philly action there. Not big, not officially a Big Five game. In fact, it's a very small. In fact, actually, who cares?
Rocco, let's turn up to a conference that definitely is worth a few minutes of discussion, and that's Conference USA.
All right. I was hoping
another huge win for Middle Tennessee tonight.
Oh, they pulled it out.
Yeah, awesome. They did.
Okay, good for them. So Middle Tennessee is starting to build a nice resume. I mean, they are probably the biggest Florida Gulf Coast fans the rest of the year out there. They need them to actually be relevant. These guys haven't really dropped off too much from what we saw the last couple of years. So good for them.
Which is amazing considering some of the key players they lost. I mean, I believe Belmont's their only loss. They won at Murray State. They won tonight at Vanderbilt. I think six of their wins, four have been true road wins. I mean, just really good so far.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then I got a team to keep an eye on that probably nobody's thinking about, but they did pull out a win tonight. They hadn't gotten their big win yet until tonight, and that's going to be North Texas. Last week they played Oklahoma, and they were tied with them. They were 30-point underdogs in that game, tied with them with about 7 minutes left, ended up losing by 10. Then they played UT Arlington at UT Arlington's house. That game was right down to the wire. They lost by 5. Nobody expected anything out of North Texas. Tonight they were down against Indiana State. They ended up pulling out the win. Their coach, McCasland, came from Arkansas State, so it's his first year. He turned around Arkansas State last year, made a lot of noise when they beat Georgetown. He's doing it again with North Texas. Don't be surprised if he is coaching somewhere else next year. they're already turning it around at North Texas.
How about Western Kentucky? We got to talk about them too. Still, I mean, I know we've mentioned their big wins down in Atlantis, but are they inside the bubble? Could they potentially land there? They've looked really good. Who is their other loss? I forget who they're. I should know that.
Western Kentucky's other. But well, I tell, we could break out a new feature here that
Missouri State.
Yeah.
Yes, Missouri State. I was going to say that we could break out a new feature here that we're going to be using some more as the season goes on. I'm going to show our new team sheets.
Oh, here. It's the team sheets. It's the team sheets.
And let's go ahead and pull Western Kentucky's schedule right up here on the left side.
Yeah.
And there you see their wins against Purdue and SMU, both top 100 wins on neutral course. Their losses, Villanova and Missouri State. You can see their average of all of the, for example, the average of all the metrics is around a 66 right now. So not quite top 50, but close enough to be in striking range, I think.
Right. And I got to say something about the team sheet, Chad. I've seen what the actual selection committee is using, and I think they copied these. They look just like these.
I actually like this format a little bit better. They use a lot of more colors in theirs that get a little difficult to read.
Right. It's like a, you know, glow in the dark. Paint my numbers.
And we do have our JNG readings in our team sheets.
JNG. Yeah, they don't have – well, pretty soon this year, I think they're just going to have the JNG, and that's all they're going to have.
Let's go back to our standings now and take a look at the upcoming week in Conference USA. John, I want to bring you in here. Yes, we can take a look at these, and just let me get those markings off screen there. But what are you looking forward to coming up here this week?
I'm definitely looking forward to a lot of pain Monday night when it comes to Florida International and South Florida.
But in all That's not watchable.
But in all seriousness, I'm looking at a much improved UAB and even much more improved Auburn team on Saturday.
How about Ole Miss at Middle Tennessee? That's going to be a fun one. A little bit of a showcase game for them.
Well, yeah. And how about Wazoo going to El Paso? That's always going to be fun.
Yes. Let's talk about UTEP for a second. Tim Floyd retires. UTEP wins their first two games of the year. Great jump.
Yep, and they got a shot there against Wazoo. And really, just a game next Wednesday, Western Kentucky on the road at Wisconsin. Wisconsin a little disappointing so far. For WKU to pick up a win there.
Yeah, big chance.
Big chance for them.
Rocco, here comes the Horizon League up on the screen. If we want to talk about disappointing teams, I think we got to talk a little bit about this Oakland team.
You want to talk about disappointing conferences? Let's talk about this conference. So Oakland's been very disappointing. We thought when Hayes came back, they would be saved. They haven't. They still haven't figured it out. Obviously, way out of the at-large discussion. Northern Kentucky, we all liked.
They
took a brutal loss tonight.
Oh, my God. They went – my theory, they were at East Tennessee State tonight, is that they went out before the game, drank a crap load of moonshine, and then took the floor. They just looked – it was eye-gougingly bad. And it was shocking, especially with how good Northern Kentucky looked before tonight.
I'd argue that Northern Kentucky wasted all the bullets against Moorhead on Saturday night because – that game was actually close for a half, and then the Norse just completely blew it open in the second half.
John, you were there, weren't you, Stalika?
Yep, I actually made it down to NKU Saturday night.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, so this is what I'm dreading about this league is that, you know, now we don't have any team to hang our hats on. It's going to looks like when teams go on the road like Northern Kentucky did tonight, you don't know what to expect. They're either going to make it a close game or just get killed. And it's going to all come down to a messy tournament in Detroit, much like last year.
Yeah.
And it's almost like if you look at RPI number right now, and RPI is still pretty meaningless this early in the season. Milwaukee, the best RPI, but that's because RPI doesn't factor in non-D1 losses, which they have.
That is true.
They did it the right way.
Yeah.
But here's the upcoming schedule if you want to bother watching anything from Horizon League this week. We do have, I don't know, IUPUI at Purdue.
Chicago State at Oakland.
Wednesday. David, how about talking some Ivy League instead of this?
Yeah, how about – we've got the Ivy League. This is just a great – we got Notre Dame on the road. Did we see that? Can we go back?
We haven't gone to the MAC yet, Puppet.
No, but like it was. Can we go? Yeah, there they are. Notre Dame playing. Oh wait, this is still the Ivy League. Never
mind. Oh, you want me to go back to the Rise League? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm sorry. Let me go back to the Rise League upcoming schedule.
Yes. There we go. We got Notre Dame going to Cleveland State. Really good. You know, the Irish have had a rough week. Can they rebound at Cleveland State?
College. That's not the real Notre Dame.
And can Belmont beat Milwaukee?
Notre Dame is Oakland City. City is Oakland. But Rocco, the Ivy League, another conference, another disappointing conference with how bad Harvard has been. Yale's been suffering from injuries. I don't even know what you look at in this league.
Yeah, it's been rough. It's hard to predict anything in this one. So when I did just a bracket exercise for fun earlier this week, I went with Pennsylvania because they've actually not had any games where they didn't show up. Everybody else has. And then they picked up a couple more wins this week. So who knows? By the time the league play starts, I think more things are going to change. So at this point, no predictions coming from me. But Pennsylvania deserves the credit right now because they haven't completely embarrassed themselves.
Yeah, and John, we saw a real pulse out of Brown tonight, almost winning that game in Providence, taking it to overtime.
Yeah, it's one you wouldn't have necessarily seen coming, given Brown's last result was a loss at home against an improving Central Connecticut State. But Brown, just like Columbia last week, they actually led Providence much of the way, but also went to overtime, and they were unable to complete the deal in a cross-city rivalry.
Yeah, and as far as the upcoming games, I guess you can kind of take a look at Yale has a trip to St. Bonaventure, Penn with a trip out to Dayton coming up this week, Monmouth with a trip to Princeton, Columbia at Boston College. It's kind of rough here, but maybe that Yale-St. Bonaventure game is probably the best on the list there, I guess.
Potentially. I'm actually looking forward to this Penn-Dayton game, and not because it really matters by a tournament standpoint. It's just – Penn been kind of one of the surprising teams. Dayton, hugely successful over the past 4 years, but kind of at the bottom of their talent cycle now. I think that one could be competitive.
All right. Well, John, here comes the Metro Atlantic standings where I don't know. I think we were talking Ryder last week, but they didn't look that hot, especially with the loss to Robert Morris this week, tonight even.
Yep, and another – I think we also have to look at Monmouth having a couple of hard luck losses as well. The first one was against UConn on Saturday, and earlier tonight they actually had a close loss at home against Hofstra.
Yeah, I think they lost by one.
Yeah, they lost 85-84 at home to Hofstra tonight.
This is another one of those leagues where it's a really slow crawl till league play starts. And once league play starts, we can start to get excited again because somebody's going to get hot, and then we can jump on their bandwagon. But until then, it's a real struggle. Iona, if you look at the four losses they have, they're all decent losses. And since Iona was the preseason favorite, I think they still deserve to get the nod until they prove otherwise and get a really bad loss.
Well, we do have a couple of big rivalry games coming up this next week here. We got a couple of New Jersey battles, St. Peter, Seton Hall, Monmouth, Princeton.
Albany, Siena.
David, Albany, Siena. And Monmouth and Kentucky, they're playing in Long Island. That's not a home game for Kentucky. That's a neutral court game.
No, I mean, it'll be that's an interesting one. That game's not on. Yeah, okay, it's in – where is that game? Is that at the Honda Arena? What's that?
Are they playing that in New Jersey?
Yeah, I think it's in New York, but I don't think it's at MSG or I don't think it's in Brooklyn. Where is it?
Where do the Islanders play? I think it might be in that building.
Yeah, I think it's there.
They play at Barclays.
Yeah. Play at Barclays? Okay, maybe it's at Barclays.
This might be at Barclays or might be somewhere else, but I know it's not. It's somewhere in New York. I have to get to Talika.
Oh, I got it. It's at the Garden. I just looked it up.
It is at the Garden?
At the Garden. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Part of the City Hoops Classic.
Oh, all right.
Maybe Chad was looking to see if it was the Nassau Veterans Memorial Coliseum, which has seen better days.
I don't even know if that's still in existence or not. Probably not. They probably tore that thing down.
Right. Oh, don't get me started on that, because we could mention the Silver Dome.
Right. I could pull a little Bill Walton here and talk about the fact that I actually did see the Grateful Dead at Nassau Coliseum, but we won't go there. That is a true story. But David, here is the Mid-American Conference, which does have a team here in Central Michigan out to a 7-1 start now.
Yeah, kind of untested, you know, playing the two Div 1 teams. They did go to Michigan in their opener, lost that, but have not lost since. And they didn't play badly in that opener. I don't think they've beaten anybody that really gets me excited yet. But you look at the rest of the league, Buffalo's had some good nights, but they've had some not-so-good nights. Kent State getting blasted tonight down at Xavier. I mean, you weren't expecting them to win that, but maybe to not get blown out of the place quite like they did. Akron off to a pretty decent start. You know, they're always kind of there. But it's just – this league is always a rock fight. It's been a long time since we've seen anyone sort of break away from the pack in this league. And I think it's going to be the same story this year once we get in the league play.
What's real scary about the Kent State score was I think they were shooting about 60% in the first half before they faded away in the second.
Yeah,
but what about the big story? What about Ball State hitting the game?
To beat
Notre Dame. And and Ball State, much like Iona, they don't have any bad losses yet. They've been in every game they've lost has been close. I still like this Ball State team. They were my preseason pick. And Chad, to go to the way you kicked this off, Central Michigan, they won the Great Alaska Shootout. So although they didn't play anybody incredibly great, they proved they could win three games in a row, which was, I'm sure, a big confidence builder. Yesterday they played a Montana State team that was predicted by a lot of people to win the Big Sky, and they beat them by 27. In a game that was supposed to be close. So I like Ball State and Central Michigan right now.
And there we go. I got both their profiles up on the screen right now. You can see Central Michigan with just the one loss. Ball State, you know, has four losses, but all respectable road losses there.
They did get killed by Oklahoma and Oregon, but those are tough places.
Yeah, but the 1-point loss at Dayton, the 4-point loss at Bucknell. So you're right. Two nice profiles there by those teams. Although, we'll look at a conference here that I think David is right. These teams just seem to not beat each other up and knock each other off.
I think so too.
And there's just so much parity in this conference almost that it just you end up with a 13 seed, and that's it.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep. And you'll probably.
We've made this point before, but there's some pretty intense rivalries in this conference too, like Kent State, Akron, Ohio, Miami, basically the whole, the team division or the East division we got there.
Does say team division. Okay. That is an error. We're going to have to fix the East division here.
Yeah.
I think six of those teams are in Ohio.
David, big game coming up, though, on Saturday, Valpo at Ball State.
Yeah, that one's going to be a lot of fun. Ball State clipped them 2 years ago, I think it was, and that was after a really big road trip from Valpo. And had Valpo won that game, I think they would have landed inside the bubble because they were close as it was. I think we learned that they were one of the first four out when the committee came out with their rankings. So that's a fun regular series. It should be fun this weekend.
No, that's correct, because they actually had one of the one seeds in the NIT as a result that year.
Yep.
Let's turn over to the MEAC here, and a real scary scene here that happened over the weekend in the South Carolina State game. I believe that was on Saturday there against NC State, where Ty Solomon for South Carolina State not only collapsed on the sideline, but during a timeout, but actually needs to be resuscitated. He is, as far as I've hearing still, he's doing fine. He was taken to the hospital. They actually did finish the game even, but real scary scene there. So we do want to send our thoughts out to him and his family and his friends and everything, and the hope that whole team there. South Carolina State, a program that's been through a lot of adversity. They almost lost the entire school there, David.
Yeah, a lot, and a real scary scene. I wasn't watching and didn't really see it as it happened, but more and more we're starting to see not just college basketball players, but basketball players in general with these heart conditions, and it was an enlarged heart. And talking to some people that were there or that were watching, everyone's first inclination was that's what happened, and they didn't think that they would be able to revive him. I mean, they just kind of thought that he had just a real scary moment. Yeah. And you certainly wish the best for him, his family, his teammates, and you know, hopefully they're able to diagnose what happens and whether he's able to come back or not. It's just, you're just glad that, as scary as it was, that it didn't end up so much worse.
Yeah, because I think the other thing that happened was they delayed the game for 40 minutes. The head coach actually went with Ty Solomon to the hospital, and I think it was the players that voted to continue playing that game against NC State.
Yeah.
When you look at the upcoming schedule of the MEAC, you're always looking at a lot of bye games here this early in the season. Rocco, one I highlighted there, do you think North Carolina A&T can upset an undefeated Georgetown team? It's going to be
You were reading, my mind. I was staring at that for a good 10 seconds. Yeah, why not? I mean, we don't know enough about Georgetown yet, and they haven't, like, completely killed the, you know, the bottom six teams that they've played so far in all of college basketball. And North Carolina A&T looks to be one of the stronger MEAC squads. So, you know, hang with the Hoyas until there's 5 minutes left, and let's see what happens.
Well, they do. Hoyas do have to get by Howard tomorrow night before they get there. So,
it's a big week in the MEAC for Georgetown.
Yeah,
Georgetown might have a shot at winning the MEAC this year, David. What do you think?
I think they might. I mean, they really went shot for the moon, and I think they can do it. They can win the MEAC.
I think they want an invite to the MEAC tournament. That might be their best way to get into the tournament.
Yeah, it's going to be quite a difference going from Madison Square Garden to the Scope in Norfolk, Virginia, which is the home of, I guess, what is it, old WCW events, as Chad likes to call it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's one of my favorite arenas for college basketball tournament championship week, the Norfolk Scope and the MEAC. But, John, how about those Wagner Seahawks in the Northeast Conference?
Look at Wagner. Wow.
Sitting there at 6-1.
Yeah, they also had a nice win against one of the favorites in the Metro Atlantic, and that was Fairfield. We don't really care about the UMass Lowell win, but we have to highlight Central Connecticut State, who, another team that's risen from the ashes of the centenary contention. They won at Brown.
We must give a shout-out to Central Connecticut State. That's all I have. Go ahead. Stilly guy cut you off.
Yep, they also had the nice wins against, North Carolina A&T and Brown. And also Duke had a nice win against STFU last night.
Unfortunately
for the Blue Devils, they ran into the Blue Demons tonight, and they're down by 28 with about 10 seconds left. But they did have a nice five-game winning streak there. And for Wagner, they've rebounded nicely since getting embarrassed on national TV against Missouri on like the fourth night of the season. So good for them. Hopefully they are strong. And for the preseason pick, St. Francis, Pennsylvania, oh my gosh, they picked a bad day to be on national TV. I think they lost by 57 to Duke last night.
They've actually got a real interesting game coming up on Sunday at Niagara. I think it's that could be a competitive game here in terms of upcoming games. Wagner, Dave, just has a team called Mercy on Sunday. I don't know what that means.
And they're in violation of one of the rules. That's going to be their first violation, I think, or their first sanction.
Yeah.
Infraction. Playing more than one Division I team. Anyway.
I'll stick with you here for the OVC, though, which should be coming up on the screen. See, Southeast Missouri State's ineligible for the NCAA tournament. That's why they're highlighted in red there. But in terms of any big wins in this conference the past week, I don't really know what we can really talk about.
Yeah, the league's been kind of disappointing. I mean, as exciting as it was for Lipscomb, Belmont, who appeared to be the signature team in the league, you know, opening the season at Washington and nearly beating them. Washington, by the way, just won in Kansas City, not a – so, again, we've seen three top 10 teams lose at home to unranked teams, and a fourth lose not at home but in front of a very partial crowd. Anyway,
they had the Kansas logo at midcourt, so I think we're going to count it.
Okay, yeah. So, but anyway, I mean, Belmont looking really good early, had a nice win over Middle Tennessee, won it, you know, a home against Vanderbilt. We're really looking good. And then, you know, they dropped the two games to Lipscomb, and then you had other teams. Jacksonville State put up some good efforts.
Yeah.
But just, yeah, this league's kind of blah outside of maybe Jack State and Murray State here.
I like this Jacksonville State team. I mean, they lost. Their only two losses are by five on a tough back-to-back road trip where they, you know, right after they destroyed Richmond, they lost a five-point game to Buffalo. Then they lost at Mississippi State in a game that came down to the wire by three. And since then, you know, Samford was supposed to be decent at the start of the year. They just beat them by 20 or 31. Jacksonville State looks like they're pretty legit so far.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
And big week coming up actually for Murray State with a game at Illinois State and a game at St. Louis. Also Jacksonville State with a trip out to Oregon State this week. Some of the highlighted games there coming up in the next week.
Jacksonville State will be looking to pick up the pieces because last night Eastern Kentucky was at Oregon State and they were up at halftime, but they couldn't hang on.
John, the Patriot League we've got up now, and are we ready to just completely write off Bucknell? Where are you with him?
I don't even want to focus on Bucknell tonight, given that we've already discussed them earlier. I want to focus on another bracketed event, and that is Army West Point actually getting a pair of wins at the Bulldog Bash against UNBC and also Marist, and that was actually played at the campus of Citadel over the weekend.
Wow. Yeah, congrats to Citadel for finishing fourth place in their home in their host event, by the way. But
right, which is well, higher than what we were expecting.
But they're not even in this conference. But David, I mean, I don't even know. Yeah, this is another conference that, with what Bucknell has been doing, even though they did pick up the nice win over Vermont this week, to just give that all back with that Northeastern game.
And they lost huge. I mean, it wasn't. First of all, they need. Yeah, that is a bad loss for a team that's trying to establish themselves as good enough to be inside the bubble. But not only is it damaging to the profile when you go there and you lose by the margin that they did, it's just an indictment on how good you actually are, not how good your paper looks. And Bucknell has just looked bad this year more than they've looked good. And it's kind of inexplicable when you consider how strong they were in the second half of last season, how well they played in the tournament, and then with all that they had coming back, it almost doesn't make any sense why they're struggling like they are.
Yep. Yeah, I don't have an answer for it. Rocco, do you have an answer for it?
I don't. I don't. They're just all over the place right now. I did want to give a shout-out to Navy. They're making some strides. They've got a four-game winning streak. Two of those are against MEAC schools, so they kind of feel like Georgetown a little bit. But they're winning games, and that's good. And then Army, unfortunately, despite those two games they got, they lost to Binghamton tonight. So more disappointing news for the league.
Yeah, but the Army-Navy do have a big game coming up this weekend in another sport. Rocco, let's stick with you here. We're going to pull the SoCon up on the screen.
We have the matchups. I was just going to talk about how psyched Army was for their game on Friday. I mean, the campus is just off the hook this week.
at Wake Forest. Okay. You see, you made something blow up on the screen there, David.
Yeah. Okay, that fixed it. How about Navy going to Columbia? I mean, just the buzz around Army and Navy athletics right now.
Rocco, another conference has been a little bit disappointing so far in non-conference play. I just got them up on the screen here is the Southern Conference. Although the big score out of tonight was Wofford picking up the home win over Georgia Tech.
I think you're mistaken, Chad, because that would be a violation of one of our commandments if that was the team in black hitting the game-winning shot.
It was the team in black hitting the game-winning shot, and yes, they were the home team. So, yes, they did violate a commandment.
Yeah, Wofford's new arena must be really nice because they're attracting some big opponents to come visit.
Yeah, South Carolina.
So we might have to plan a trip out there and check it out. But yeah, East Tennessee State, like we talked about before, had a nice victory over NKU. When I was looking at this league earlier, I think these top five teams are all pretty even, although I'd put UNC Greensboro in fifth because they do have a couple rough losses. But I think Furman and Mercer are pretty even. And East Tennessee State's right there. Wofford maybe be fourth for me. But, you know, we got a long way to go, and overall it's been pretty disappointing. I mean, VMI and the Citadel are very, very bad.
Yeah, and yeah. Samford's been very, very disappointing this year, David. We really
one of the more – not just the biggest disappointment in the conference, but one of the biggest disappointments really of all the under-the-radar teams. I mean, I don't think we expected them to contend for a bubble spot, but based on how strong they were last year, how many games they were in against the top half of the league, and everything they had coming back, I mean, it's just kind of surprising that they've been as bad as they've been.
Well, yeah, they'll have a shot at Clemson this weekend. I don't think that they can get that one. A slightly interesting game with Elon out of the Colonial taking on Greensboro tomorrow night as well. Let's jump right over to the next conference. I believe the Southland is up next. And
ooh, big news. And we got big news in the Southland conference.
Big news. A huge game tonight there.
SFA getting it done at
Arkansas. Arkansas is beating Cal by 20 at halftime.
Whoa! This is so
far. Oh my God!
That UCLA to overtime now has a pathetically bad Cal team on the ropes. The other news, though, John.
Not on the ropes. They got him on the canvas. Up 20 at the half. Huh.
John, big week for SFA with the huge win tonight on the road at La Tech.
I don't think that computes because we're used to seeing SFA beating teams outside of the RPI top 200, but we got to give credit to the Lumberjacks for this one because Louisiana Tech has been a very formidable foe under the radar this year.
David, I got to go back to our time sheet, our team sheets here, because we don't just see SFA beating teams outside the top 200. We see them beating teams that don't even have RPIs down here.
There you go.
This is one of the most exciting nights the Southland has had in maybe December history. Abilene Christian also won at Air Force tonight, and obviously Central Arkansas is having a great time so far in Berkeley.
Chad, guys, is this the name of a college or is this the villain from the movie Speed? Here, take a closer look.
It might be the villain, but have no fear. They do have another game left to go against Arlington Baptist College. Yeah, David, that is a triple commandment violation by the Lumberjacks.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, wow. We're going to update our infraction sheet here.
Let's go ahead and take a look at some of the upcoming games this coming week in the Southland. We've got in action again against the Southland with the game against Lamar, I guess. There was an ooh there, though.
I got to give a shout-out again to my Southeastern Louisiana guys. They've been really turning around. I think they've won three in a row. They get to go to Central Florida, so we'll see how far they've turned it around. But I've watched their last couple games, and Marlon Veal has been lighting it up. So Southland's exciting right now.
Talk about exciting, though, David. Friday night, maybe the upset of the entire season, and I don't know that we're going to have one bigger than this.
Yeah, it was astounding. I think going back to 2011, I counted three out-of-conference Division I wins total for Grambling. Multiple Centenary Award winner. If I'm not mistaken, I couldn't research, but in the entire history of their program, they've never beaten anyone that's currently in a Power 5 conference. And they're not – I mean, it isn't like that they're on the brink of turning it around or that they're this team that's even good by SWAC standards. It was one of the more surprising results ever, and I know we talked about this on Monday as well. What else would you compare this to? I mean, as far as – and not that Georgia Tech is a top 10 team by any means, but just the difference in ability and talent and between the gap between Grambling and Georgia Tech seems to be as big as any game that I can remember where the weaker team won. The only other thing I can think of was a few years ago when TCU won 10 games, was outside the RPI top 200, and they beat Kansas, who was a one seed. That's the only other one I can think that, and this is probably even bigger than that.
Yeah, it's. I don't know that I have an answer for you for something else I can compare it to. It's that you're. I think you're right. This was just a complete shocker, especially the way that Georgia Tech beat themselves. Really,
That was an ugly finish, and I didn't think that Grambling would hold on. That was incredible. And I think David, you're right. I can't think of a bigger upset. I know that Central Arkansas to start the year was in the high 300 or mid 300s, but they couldn't pull it out against UCLA. That would have been a big one. And Grambling, with their history and how horrible they've been the last 5 years, it's incredible to think that they could win at any ACC school. So anyway, let's pencil them in as the favorite now.
Well, the problem is they're on the APR list, so you can't even put them into your fields. Got to go below Grambling. They're not even eligible. So,
that's right.
Again, this is an ineligible team beating an ACC team on the road.
Waiver.
So our favorite is 0-8 right now, Texas Southern.
Yeah.
Okay.
Texas Southern, yeah. Prairie View, 2-5, maybe the team to beat at the moment. But Grambling, trip to play the Lopes on Saturday. Texas Southern and Oregon coming up this weekend. You see a lot of big names always with these SWAC schools because they're just cashing the paychecks, obviously.
Yes, that's all they're doing. And that's frustrating in some ways. Like, they're not even playing these games with any anticipation of being able to compete in them. But yet, Grambling won one of them.
Hopefully Grambling takes a nice long trip to Phoenix and enjoy it to celebrate their win.
Yeah.
John, here is the schedule from the past week in the Summit League, which, I mean, I don't know what we really want to talk about here. We talked about them a lot last week with South Dakota State, had that good week and had a great, really had Wichita State down big early, but fell apart in the second half of that game.
I think in my neck of the woods, we have to talk about Western Illinois, who actually has the best record in the Summit right now, but actually had a loss to Mother Miami at home during the weekend.
6-2 record against
the best D1 record.
Yeah, a 4-2 D1 record against a 330 strength of schedule. I don't think I want to discuss Western Illinois again this year, Stalika.
That's still 21 spots better than Georgetown.
Western Illinois beat Wisconsin a few years ago and missed the Summit tournament, whereas Wisconsin went to the Sweet 16. Maybe that was sort of in this league of Grambling over Georgia Tech.
Yeah, thanks for opening that old wound, Poppet.
Sorry.
Yeah, and Rocco, here's the upcoming schedule in the Summit League, the big North Dakota State battle we already mentioned earlier when we were talking about. Also, South Dakota State also getting North Dakota. And I guess a front range battle here between Denver and Northern Colorado.
Yeah, South Dakota State should be okay at home against North Dakota, and Denver, Northern Colorado, yeah, front range battle. I would imagine Northern Colorado would be slightly favored ahead of them just based on the fact they're at home and they're pretty much even. I think this week in the Summit overall is kind of slow. I think everybody's waiting for the season to start at this point. Like you mentioned in the beginning of the conversation for the Summit League, South Dakota State, they've got the best player, Mike Dom. They played Wichita unbelievably well and then melted to the crowd in the full court press at the end. But give them credit for, that team, they bank on the three-point shot. So if they're hitting their threes, they can knock off anybody. It's crazy. But if they're cold, they can lose to anybody. And that's why they got blown out against Missouri State when they went cold.
Yeah. David, the Sun Belt Conference is showing up on the screen now. We do still have a very solid record from this Arlington team who picked up a couple more wins this week.
Right. Their only loss, I believe, coming at Alabama. Was it Bama that beat them? And they were right by one. They were right in that game. Really kind of had it won. So Arlington, I think that they were the team we liked the most coming into the year, but they may be even better than we thought. Louisiana off to a 5-2 start. Georgia Southern, their win over Wake, looking less and less impressive as we go along. But really the only team that's jumped out at me in any real meaningful way is Arlington.
Right. And John, the upcoming schedule here in the
Sun Belt, huge
game coming up tomorrow night. It is going to be the under the radar game of the day.
Arlington might be the game of the day, period. That's a good one.
It's a very small schedule this weekend. And then Arlington's got Gulf Coast coming up this weekend as well.
It's actually reminiscent of some of the tip-off marathon matchups that also took place between SFA and Northern Iowa, except this time it's also Texas Arlington that's going to be making the trip to Cedar Falls.
Well, Rocco, last but not least, the Western Athletic Conference. Before we get to those Cal Baptist notes up top there, let's start with the WAC itself, which not on the screen yet, it just went final, but New Mexico State did lose their second game of the season tonight, losing to San Diego.
Ooh, okay, I didn't see that one. So good win for the Toreros. I heard that New Mexico State was probably the most impressive team. I got to see a couple weeks ago Seattle University in person, and this team since that day has not lost. They keep getting better, so keep your eye on them. Grand Canyon game last night, was looking forward to their game against St. John's. Watched it and promptly fell asleep during that because it was brutal. And I'm on the West Coast, so I had every reason to stay up, and I couldn't do it. Grand Canyon's got some things to work on. Utah Valley is still pretty competitive. So overall, this league is up from where it has been in years past.
Yeah, and David, here's the upcoming schedule. We mentioned that Grand Canyon game, New Mexico State at New Mexico also on Saturday. Anything else that's out to you really here?
New Mexico State, New Mexico, that you mentioned. I mean, I have a feeling New Mexico State's going to get the sweep this year. New Mexico is just – what's the word? Bad. Yeah, that's what they are. They're bad. Nothing really else. Grand Canyon at Boise might be fun, but I just think that they just don't have what it takes. Boise's actually really good this year. And even though Grand Canyon is going to be at or near the top of the standings, I just don't think they got what it takes to go in the Idaho and win.
Yeah, the Seattle St. Mary's game as well, a little bit interesting.
Yeah, and St. Martin is at Seattle, which Seattle's going to look to get revenge for our boys from Cal Baptist.
We can say right. Well, just that's a horrible. Well, they had a game canceled, and that completely threw off the schedule and everything. I mean, it just threw everything into a tizzy, and then they go in the Chaminade and they struggled.
Yeah, well, it's not necessarily canceled.
Yeah, I mean, just
what happened. Cal Baptist had our team of the people had their road trip to Hawaii this weekend, playing the two Pac West teams out there. Hawaii Hilo, there's water on the court, common thing in D1 games. I guess it's even more common in D2 games, right?
Yeah, the court was underwater.
They got the volcanoes out there. Water.
Yeah, there was like fish and all this stuff on the court. It was just
nice. Yes, the game was postponed. It's actually, though, they're actually going to make up the game at Cal Baptist, so Cal Baptist is going to end up with an extra home game, so that's the good news for them.
I'm sure they had somebody out there pouring the water on the court before. So.
Right. I mean, it had, like, all this, like, amphibious stuff going on the court.
Yeah, but John, they got blasted by Chaminade.
Yep, just unfortunate timing for a team that probably looked a little bit rusty because of their – lack of game at Hawaii Hilo
it was. Still, this is still the best team in Division II, like Lance Champs.
I guess on that note, let me go ahead and pull the screen share down here. And, you know what? I got to pull it back up again because we got to go ahead and do our top 10 list. David, you almost made me forget about the top 10.
Hey, Chad, don't forget about the top 10.
Well, you're supposed to remind me of these things. Under the radar top 10 list. Here we go. And this is the top 10 list. We all submitted votes for our top 10. We cross-country scored them, and we had a partial drum roll. There it is. Oh, the number one team on the top 10 list is The Northern Iowa Panthers. Right. David, do you agree with
that? Very much so. I mean, again, about a week or two ago, I was lamenting, and I think we all were, about how there were no under-the-radar teams that looked like they were going to be anywhere close to the bubble. That is wrong. Northern Iowa already putting together the kind of profile that can get them there. And I think that they're not the only ones that could land at or on or in the bubble.
Western Kentucky.
Like this team too. It's kind of funny, Northern Iowa and Western Kentucky, the meat of their resumes so far, both coming from the Battle of Atlantis tournament, yet they didn't meet in that tournament.
Which was great.
Coming in number three, that Middle Tennessee team, especially off that big win tonight on the road at Vanderbilt.
Yeah.
At number four. Number four, we got that Loyola team coming off the huge, huge win at Florida tonight, Rocco.
Yeah, they got that win under their cap now, so they need to keep playing like it. But very excited for them, and I think they do have the talent to sustain being a top 10 UTR team.
Yeah. Arlington coming in at number five. We just discussed them a few moments ago. And at number six, the Towson team that we discussed off of that Belfast championship, getting you all the way up to number six in the rankings.
Like them, yeah.
Number seven is Valpo. How can you argue with undefeated? I would probably argue they belong higher because they're undefeated even. And that is our third MVC team in the top seven there.
Right. And if they win tomorrow, they will be higher.
They got to prove themselves. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. But this just shows you again how strong the Missouri Valley Conference is looking so far with three teams in here already. At number eight,
definitely
Vermont, who we've discussed at the beginning of the show. Number nine, off of the huge win against La Tech, Stephen F. Austin cracks the top 10. I don't know how long they're going to stay there with all those non-D1 games, but they are the top 10 now. And at number 10,
Lipscomb.
Off of the sweep of the Battle of Boulevard, I think, Sleeka, you helped really push Lipscomb up there, didn't you?
Yep, I had, Lipscomb improved, and I think I had a Florida Gulf Coast mention as an honorable mention a couple weeks ago, but they and Bucknell are completely off of my board for the time being.
Yeah, let's take a look at some of the top five or six teams that just missed out. New Mexico State, these votes were taken before that game went final. Ball State off of the huge win over Notre Dame. Louisiana Tech, South Dakota State, Northern Kentucky, which I did not agree with, and Portland State, which I would not agree with, but a couple of you like them enough to get them onto the honorable mention list at least. On that note, I'll go ahead and pull things down. And let me start with you. Any other thoughts for the evening?
Start with who?
John Stalica.
Okay. I was going to say 2 years ago, the Cal Bears actually had an unbeaten record at home and were just blasting people. And I think we teased this earlier tonight. They're losing by 24 at home against the Central Arkansas Bears. I mean, there's a chance I may actually be seeing Central Arkansas in person for a Hoops HD road trip when they actually go down to Moorhead. What's going to happen for that one? I'm afraid for the Eagles in this one.
That could be a big time blowout. This Central Arkansas team could score. You know, they put up over 100 on UCLA.
More common, I guess, under the radar. But this would be the second time they've played Moorhead State. So, because if you're going to play a home and home, anyway,
you got to do it against natural rival like Moorhead.
Right, you got to do it against natural regional rivals and Central Arkansas, Moorhead State. Right, they're not even in the same time zone. Anyway,
I think they're just trying to keep each other from breaking the commandments of not.
Well, and then we have to applaud them for that if that's what they.
Rocco, any other thoughts from you for the evening?
Yeah, I mean, the future conference tonight, the Missouri Valley, is sticking with me as a legitimate two-bid possible league. Clearly, out of all the conferences we discussed today, the most likely to be able to accomplish that. And it's just a good feeling because and hopefully it lasts. The last few years for me, I love rooting for all these conferences, just like all you guys. And the last couple of years for me have been really frustrating because once we start to hit this time of year, we start to lose hope, and we still have hope. So that's all we can ask for at this point.
Got to keep hope alive there, David.
Yeah.
The puppet is speechless.
Yes, it was just. I have no encore. I said all. I've shared all my wisdom during the show.
Well, I guess on that note, given that David didn't share any wisdom, that's about typical.
Supposed to mean?
Figure it out. Right. I do want to thank everybody for joining us. On behalf of David Griggs, Rocco Miller, John Slica, I'm Chad Sherwood. This has been a Hoops HD's Under the Radar. We'll be back again next week with more podcasts. Have a great one, everyone.